Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Dr. Theodore Steinman, who is a clinical professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School. He's on the staff, he's a staff physician at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center and Brigham and Women's Hospital. I guess that's all one name now, isn't it?
Different institutions.
Yeah, they used two separate institutions
that are both Harvard-affiliated medical institutions that are part of the Harvard Medical School complex, but we are one block apart.
Oh, okay. And Dr. Steinman is a pain management specialist, and particularly in relation to polycystic kidney disease, or PKD. And he also has had some experience with the Alexander technique, and we're going to talk today about how the Alexander technique fits in with medical pain management issues, and then a little bit about his personal involvement with the technique. Dr. Steinman, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Could you begin by sharing your philosophy of pain management in general and how specifically the Alexander technique fits in with that in your experience?
Thank you. Dealing with chronic pain is a very difficult issue for both, obviously, patient as well as physician. It's extremely difficult to cure chronic pain. And if you set that as a goal of total cure, you're generally setting two people up for disappointment, both the patient and the physician. The goal of pain management in the area of chronic pain due to many causes is to reduce the pain as much as possible so at least interferes with one's lifestyle. And one can decrease the severity of the pain and the impact of pain on how one conducts their life, and that is the goal of therapy, to minimize the impact of pain in such a circumstance, rather than saying we're going to find a total cure. With regards to the Alexander technique, the goal of, or the initial treatment modalities employed for chronic pain management are initially non-pharmacologic, which means you don't run for the to the prescription pad and write for narcotic or non-narcotic medications as the first step. What you try to work with in non-pharmacological modalities is to how do you help control and deal with the body so that it it sets off less pain problems from the beginning. And so in working with this approach, the Alexander technique is sometimes a very effective adjunctive. It's not a primary treatment, but it's a very effective adjunctive therapy in the areas that I deal with, is mainly in polycystic kidney disease and the pain associated with that.
Mm-hmm. And I should say at this point that Alexander technique teachers are pretty careful about not referring to themselves as therapists. We see our role as teachers, as educators, and helping people to learn how to improve the function, their physical functioning. But of course, that can have some pretty profound therapeutic spin-offs, as I guess you have discovered.
Yes, and that's what I admire about people who are involved in teaching the Alexander technique, is they set what I consider reasonable expectations and reasonable goals, and don't overstate that this is the end-all, the cure-all for all things, but it's a very effective adjunctive modality to help control chronic pain.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, from my perspective.
Right. And I think it might be useful to mention here that there are there have been a number of studies that a number of medical studies over the years involving the Alexander technique. For the most part, they've been very small-scale studies. They've all pointed in a direction that suggests that the Alexander technique is helpful, but not, they're not of a large scale that we usually look for confirmation of that. However, 2 years ago, there was released a British study published in the British Medical Journal, a very large-scale study conducted in the UK, financed by the National Health Service. And actually, elsewhere on this podcast, there is an interview with Dr. Paul Little, who was the director of that study. And the study pretty definitely confirmed that in terms of what a GP ought to advise his or her patients with chronic back pain, that the Alexander technique is pretty much the top choice from an efficiency point of view, certainly. So there is that study. Obviously, the work that you're doing with PKD, there has been no such study. But I do wonder, Dr. Steinman, how you first became involved with the Alexander technique.
Like many things, it was a personal contact that introduced me to the benefits of the Alexander technique. My wife was having severe chronic headaches. That were very debilitating and occurring very frequently. And after going through a whole series of modalities, she was referred to an Alexander technique teacher who, with working with her, I then observed that her headaches began to decrease in severity and frequency, and over the course of many months to probably a year, the headaches have completely disappeared and have not recurred. This is now more than 10, 15 years ago, and the headaches have still remained minimal to non-existent whatsoever. And every other modality that I could see that was employed, including medication, had relatively little to no impact on her chronic headaches. But the most effective thing that I saw was the slow and steady improvement as she stayed with the technique and with the teacher over the course of many months, and I watched the benefits of that. So that opened my eyes and gave me my initial education and introduction into the benefits of the Alexander technique. And so I've been a personal beneficiary of this technique by way of my wife.
Right. Based on your personal experience and what you've seen with your PKD patients, what would you say to particularly say a primary care physician who has a patient who's in pain? Would you suggest that they suggest the Alexander technique to their patient, or how would you approach that if you were asked by a fellow physician?
Most of the issues, I would bet that more than 90% of physicians in the country, I would bet, but I don't have the data, could not spell the Alexander technique. They really have no knowledge about it, and therefore, like everything else in life, it's education, education, education. The way that I have found that the best way to change physician behavior or to educate physicians is have the patient educate the physician. So if you have an educated public who is aware of the potential, I don't want to say absolute, of the potential benefits from the Alexander technique, that if they raise with the physician, but I've heard about this, do you know anything about it? And then you can get the physician to become educated. And then if the physician sees one patient benefit from the Alexander technique, that will help introduce this treatment modality to other patients with, say, chronic pain due to many different etiologies.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. It has to kind of come from probably in most cases from the patient. And it might be worth mentioning here that because the Alexander technique is an educational process, it's not typically covered by insurance, although some insurance policies now in the States will cover things like the Alexander technique. They might include things like acupuncture and so on. If you're listening to this podcast in the UK, the National Health Service sometimes does actually pay for Alexander lessons, and they are offered in some hospital settings in the UK. And I believe that may be true in Israel as well. I'm not totally certain about that. But we should mention that if you're going to be taking Alexander lessons, there will probably be some out-of-pocket costs, although as the UK's back pain study showed, those costs are pretty minimal compared to the alternatives facing back pain sufferers of medication or lost work or surgery or that sort of thing.
One nice thing I get introduced to, sometimes, and like everything else, not this modality as well as every other modality is not guaranteed to produce success, and we always have reasonable expectations. So I don't want to ever say this is the end-all, the cure-all. However, the downside of it, you know, when we, every time we prescribe medications or any treatment choices, there's always an upside and a downside. With regards to the Alexander technique, while it may be very helpful, and you can't guarantee that, at least there's no downside to it. And there's always some benefit that seems to accrue to the patient, independent of actually an impact of their pain. They seem to improve their overall lifestyle with it, but there's no downside. So I want to emphasize that in prescribing approaches and the prescribing therapeutic modalities for patients, you always look for the upside, the downside. And while the upside may be there or may not be, there's no downside to it.
I guess that relates to, I guess it's the the injunction to doctors to do no harm. Is that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Dr. Steinman, is there anything else you would like to touch upon in our talk today?
Again, as I said before, in dealing with chronic pain, the most important thing is to try to understand what's causing the pain and the physiological parameters that are occurring that are leading to pain, and then how often non-pharmacological manipulations and modalities should be employed first rather than trying prescription medications, all of which have, there's no medication out there that's totally devoid of side effects. From aspirin on down, they all have known complications. So therefore, over the course of time, I try every non-pharmacological manipulation first and foremost for patients with chronic pain, I say, especially in the area of polycystic kidney disease that I deal with. So I am, the only thing I would, if I try to leave a message for patients, is to empower them to take charge of their condition, of their life, and become an extreme advocate for themselves. Be forceful with your physician, don't be passive, and help educate your physician about things that he or she may not know about, such as the Alexander technique. And that is a way of helping yourself. You're in charge, and it's probably the best way to initially try approaches to your chronic pain. So that would be my final message. Be your own self-advocate. Be aggressive. Take charge. That is the best thing that a patient can do.
I don't think I could add anything to that. I think that's a perfect ending for our conversation. Today, my guest has been Dr. Theodore Steinman, who's a clinical professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School, a pain management specialist working a lot with people with polycystic kidney disease, or PKD. And Dr. Steinman, thank you so much for being on the show today.
It is my pleasure. It's my pleasure, really, because the goal we try to achieve is what can we do to help patients? And the thing I'm the greatest believer in is education, education, education. So this is a nice venue and a wonderful opportunity to kind of help patients become educated about modalities that are out there for themselves. So thank you for this opportunity.